نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we have the blessings of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And we are moving towards the month of Hajj, Zulhijjah. Between Ramadan and Zulhijjah is just about 60 days. Shawwal and Zulqa'dah, and then the month of Hajj comes in. So from the end of Ramadan till the 10th of Zulhijjah is just about 70 days. In the design of Allah Ta'ala, there will definitely be some wisdom, some beauty, and some significance. For the person that ponders, he thinks about it, he will discover the beauty, he will see the wisdom, and he may discover the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the plan supposed to do to us. So as though the month of Ramadan, the 30 rozas that we keep in the month of Ramadan, were planned out as something to detox us. So we had 30 days to detox 30 tablets that we may detox us from all the toxins and all the waste that's in the body. And the blessings of the month of Ramadan, and then the Taraweeh and the Quran Sharif that is recited, that helps to remove all the toxins, all the dirt, and all the filth that's within the body, everything gets cleaned up. Then it is a general trend with many people that they discharge their zakat around the month of Ramadan. So one is the detox that we require for our physical and our spiritual well-being. And then every human being also carries some baggages. So as we are coming to the Beloved, then spiritually, physically, we need to be pure. And our baggages need to be pure as well. Otherwise, it will be just half the job. Spiritually, we have purified ourselves with the rozas, abstinence and restraining from temptation and lust. But the baggages that we are carrying may be still loaded with filth. And obviously now we are heading towards meeting the Beloved. So we can't be going with filthy baggages. Imagine going to the Beloved with a bag full of filth, rotten meat and rotten eggs. And the stench is going all over. Though you are purified from all the filth, but the baggages are filthy and it doesn't seem at all good and appropriate to be meeting the Beloved with this state, in the state of filth. So physically, spiritually, we need to purify ourselves, and the baggages that we are carrying, that also needs to be pure and clean. So therefore, Allah has instituted the ordinance of zakat, that the baggages that we carry, mistakenly or deliberately, there may be some filth, something added to this whole thing. And giving out the zakat correctly, with a good heart, and with a good mind and a good soul, that cleanses our wealth as well. When it's done in a good spirit, in a good mind, with a good heart, so physically, spiritually we are clean, and our baggage, our material also is clean. Now we are in a state to meet the Beloved, so we proceed towards Hajj. So it's a story of love. The whole procedure is just planned out that we can have an occasion to express our love. Love needs some expression. Right? And the expression may not be appealing to our logic and our reasoning, but all of us express the love in some way or the other. Right? It's a small little child, and we express our love in some way. We cuddle the child, we kiss the child, play with him, we carry him around, So we express our love to the child in this manner. Then if our parents, then also we love them and respect them, and we show our love in a different way. Sometimes we are spoiling them, sometimes we are serving them, sometimes it's the approach that we use with our parents, an approach of love, kindness and respect. So the love needs some expression. It can't be dry, and that expression doesn't have to be agreeing logically, and not suppose, it doesn't have to be reasoning. It doesn't have to be reasoning with our mind and our logic. But it's an expression of love. Then we show this love also to our wives, right? So the love that we show them is different. Different to the little child, different to the father and parents, and different to the wife. They also, we show some love. And this doesn't have to be consistent with our logic and our reasoning. Our reasoning may take us in a different end, but love takes us in a different end. You are going to meet your wife, for example, after 2 months, for Umrah or Hajj or something, and coming after some interval, 2 months, 3 months, you're coming to see her, when in Jamaat or somewhere, and you need to meet your wife after this period. There was a whole gap in between. So, from wherever you are, whether you're in Makkah, Mukarramah, or in Jamaat somewhere, you're phoning your local florist that you see to it that you send a nice bouquet of roses. This is the color I want, pink and blue, whatever the color it may be. But it must be this color, this arrangement, and this must be the fragrance, and this must be the texture. It must be absolutely fresh, irrespective of the cost. So you get it delivered, right? Now that is the person who is fired with love. But the person that is not fired with love, he'll say to himself, but you know, what's the need of sending this type of roses? 5,000, 5 grand. I have to spend for something that's in a few days going to wither away, dry, and then I just have to throw it into the dirt. So what's the use? So that person is not fired with love, because he's using his reasoning against his emotions. There it was an occasion to show your emotions of love. There you're not supposed to be using your reasoning, but you're supposed to be expressing your emotions of love. So now, we are proceeding into the month of Zilhijjah, that is the actual month of love, month of Muhabbat. Right? So Allah Ta'ala will show us some of the adab, some of the etiquette, what type of love, what type of etiquette you're supposed to be showing. So for a love story, then you need some protocol and some introduction, how do you go about. So, in this love story, you can't be fighting, can't be wrangling, can't be disputing, can't be doing all these type of things. فَلَا رَفَسَ وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِ. So, as the month starts off, as this month's Mubarak month starts off, Zulhijjah, Zulqadah are from the Mubarak months, then moving on to Muharram and ending up with Rajab, all Mubarak months, and Allah himself says, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Don't wrong yourself. These are very, very priceless moments. Very, very priceless and virtuous moments. Don't lose it out. لَا تَظْلِمُوا. You're going to lose out, and you'll lose out perhaps for the entire year. Because Ibn Qayyim Rahmatullah says, when you're going to respect these months and take good care of it, then the months will take good care of you in the whole year. The whole year, your months will go very well. Because you took care of these months, then this thing will take care of you for the entire year. But that requires that you don't get yourself involved in any wrong. And particularly, no arguing, no wrangling. So that's why many times when I see what's going on in this world nowadays, so I say it's not even worthwhile getting into a discussion with someone that you're not absolutely familiar. You're very familiar, you understand, he understands you. So the discussion goes well. But the understanding is not so well. So the discussion then builds up into an argument. The argument, before an argument, it's a discussion. Then the discussion progresses into a debate. From the debate is an argument. And from an argument then you begin to use vulgarity. And from that point then you want to become physical. Or you want to use arms, right? But it builds up. It's a small build up gradually, gradually. So in this day and time we're seeing people's temperaments not so refined, right, as they're supposed to be, as you saw in the old days. Very refined people, our grandfathers, didn't get into fights and problems and arguments. Whether you find it, they need to sell someone, they said it. And there was no arguments, there was no fights, there was no wrangling. But now it's a little bit of a discussion, that discussion progresses into a debate. And from a debate, then it's an argument, then it's fighting, verbal, then you want to become vulgar, and all type of languages are used. Or if it's not in the presence of the person, then in the absence. Someone will be vulgar on your face, slandering, and someone will do it behind you. Right? So all these things, all these wrongs you get involved in. So the better thing is, then don't discuss with such people that you're not absolutely familiar with, you don't understand the person's temperament, he doesn't understand you, and you get into this, and all that you have acquired all gets lost. Sometimes it's just one word, and one word, then everything is lost. One person used one wrong word in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu explains to the person, see, this word that you have used, if it's mixed into the ocean, it's added to the ocean, it will spoil the entire ocean's water. Just one word. And one word, what a problem it can create. Now, words carry on in our lives, and we don't even bat an eye. We don't think much about it. In Tirmidhi Sharif Hadith, that a person uses a wrong word, right? He's pious, doing namaz, everything. But he uses a wrong word in the absence or in the presence of the person. As a result, Allah Ta'ala throws him into the bottom of Jahannam. One word, and the destruction it's caused, the wrong, how serious the wrong is in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, that he drops him right into the pit of Jahannam. But by the same token, the person is particular about the using of his tongue, right? He uses the right word. It builds up relationship, promotes deen, brings someone closer to Allah Ta'ala. But he's thoughtful, he's mindful about the words that he uses, then that escalates him to the highest of the high. So how mindful we need to be about the tongue. The tongue is the only limb, the only organ. The hadith says that when you get up in the morning, the tongue pleads to you. As though the tongue controls the body, like the heart controls the spiritual self, then the tongue controls your whole physical well-being. So the tongue pleads to the entire body. Please remain straight, remain good, and we will be right. But if you go off, then we all go off. The tongue is doing the talking, but the entire body gets the brunt of the damage. Tongue is safe. It's got a fortress with 32 soldiers, right? It's safe. But the entire body gets it after that because of the wrongs of the tongue. So, فَلَا رَفَسَ وَلَا فُسُوقُ. So one is about the guarding of our tongue, right? The second thing that the Quran speaks about, وَلَا رَفَسَ. Any type of indecent activity, anything, small or big, don't count that indecent thing to be small. You're looking at something and you know it's indecent. It will create the wrong type of inclinations in you. Now you can say to yourself, try to appease your soul and your mind, I'm just chilling down a little bit, I'm just entertaining myself. But you know the entertainment, what it can lead to. That's why the hadith warns us very seriously about this, that this eyes, sahmun masmumun, it's a poisonous arrow. It's a poisonous arrow. And what will the poison do? Does anybody experiment with the poison? You know how fatal it can be. So that poisonous arrow, one glance, it can be your destruction, it can be your ruin. The poison, you know what it can do? All the limbs, all the organs, the vitals, it can collapse all the vitals. And in moments the person is finished. So similar is the misuse of the eye, that the spiritual organs all begin to collapse. And then you don't find the motivation, the drive towards good. To come early to the masjid, you don't find it right. To read Quran Sharif, you don't feel right. To make ta'lim in the house or the recommended kitab, that you don't find good. But music, news, media, all these things have appeal. But what you're supposed to be doing and what you are born for, that you don't have an appeal. There's no motivation, there's no drive. And then you'll justify your actions by saying, what I need to know what's going on in the world. I need to know. But don't you need to know what Allah Pak wants from you? What the world wants from you, that you need to know. But what Allah Pak wants from you, don't you need to know that? So this justification process. So Allah Pak says, "Fala rafasa wala fusuka wala jidala fil hajj." Now you want the blessings of the Mubarak month, alright, we are not there in Makkah, not in Madina Munawwara, but obviously we can have a share of the good of the pilgrims of the Hajjis. We can have a share. So how do we go about doing it? We have a love for all the good that is taking place in these sacred lands. The Hajjis and the Mu'tamireen, whoever are going in now, that we have a love for them, the love for the activity, and together with that, we make dua for them as well. As the hadith says, that you will be grouped up with the people that you love. So you are loving those people, you like what they are doing, and you're making dua for them, for their well-being, that the hajj must be qabool, mabroor, they go safely, they come back safely. So your heart is there, though you are here, but your heart and your soul is in Medina sometimes. So Medina ko gaye, hum reh gaye. So your heart is there in Medina Munawwara, though you are physically here. So when the good comes out of hajj or of the ibadat, then because your heart is there, your spiritual self is there, inshallah you get a share of all the activity, all the good that takes place there. But that requires a little adjustment of the hayat, little adjustment of the mind, that your mind is there, your heart is there, and you are also behaving like how a hajj is supposed to behave. You don't get into anything that will spoil your whole ibadat, all that you're doing in these Mubarak days. You don't want to get into anything that will spoil it. No misuse of the eyes, no misuse of the tongue. So the good that takes place there, then inshallah, you will get a share of this as well. Because your heart is in Medina sometimes. Sometimes it's around the Kaaba Sharif. The two main themes of the whole month of Ramadan or of Hajj is two main themes as recorded in the Quran Sharif. One is وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Taqwa is the most important ingredient, right? And what is the essence of taqwa? One is to fear Allah Ta'ala, and one is restrain. Okay? A lot of things tempt you. You want to say something, but you restrain yourself. You arrest yourself. No, I can't. I can't give in to my nafs. I can't give in to my mind. I'm not the slave of my mind. I'm the slave of Allah Ta'ala. I'm the slave of the teachings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I will remain committed and I will remain faithful to Allah Ta'ala. I will remain faithful to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not to my mind and not to my reasoning. I must be dead sure that Allah Pak is pleased with my behavior, with the words that I'm uttering. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not displeased before I make any utterance. Similarly, if I'm looking at something, then I need to be dead sure that Allah Pak is pleased and not displeased with me. Because that one glance can be fatal. The one word can be can be dangerous and can bring about your destruction. Similarly is the glance. Many a time we just look at things and we feel, take it lightly, we don't feel anything about it. But then it impacts right in this world. You don't want to be in the good, in the masjid, in the righteous works, make ta'aleem of the recommended kitabs. We don't want to do that. But now look at a documentary, or look at a film, or look at any of the other haram, you feel very motivated, very driven doing all this thing. Going into wrong places, malls, etc. Especially around these days. Around these days, you can't be gallivanting in this type of places. It's a necessity. You go at an odd time, just do what you need to do and come away. Because the time is too mubarak to waste. You won't get these months again for the rest of the year. So this is a build-up again now. It cleanses you, it detoxes you, and then it refills you with love, with muhabbat, and the energy to continue for that entire year with love, not just as a formality or as a customary thing, but you got an energy, you got a passion, you got a drive for the righteousness. But that requires that we guard ourselves, especially the use of our eyes and the use of our tongue. فَلَا رَفَسَ وَلَا فُسُوكُ. No wrangling, no fighting, no arguing, no speaking ill of the person in his presence or in his absence. Similarly, not misusing the eyes or not fantasizing. Maybe you're not misusing the eyes, but you're fantasizing of someone you was in school with. Now she must be married and a granny now. But that fantasy doesn't leave your heart. So see to it that these two things you are guarding, then that heart of yours will be good. And as though you are here, but you are in Medina sometimes. Sometimes you are in Makkah Mukarrama. So this is what Allah Ta'ala requires of you. So the one theme of this whole month is taqwa. And the other theme of this whole month, right, is وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ, the respect and the adab. The home goes well, but there is some level of protocol, adab in the house. The child is coming up, and he's taught adab. What is adab? How do you respect the house? You respect your house, you learn how to respect the house of Allah Ta'ala. But if you didn't respect your own house, how will you respect the house of Allah Ta'ala? If the child is coming up, he's 8-9 years of age, and he's eating pan and spitting everywhere in the house, spitting on the walls, is that acceptable? If the child argues and says, but it's not haram, it's not napak, it just spits, what's wrong about it? So is the parent going to listen to the story? This is a house, it's not a macheni, it's not a filth, right? You look after the house, you respect the house. So there'll be a good relationship. The child learns respect, etc. He knows how to speak to his elder in a soft tone. He's an alim, he's a great person. So how do we speak to him? Say, or he's just another person. You can use that attitude, but then it damages you. Spiritually, it brings about your rot, but you can't see it. Because you can't see it, you are taking advantage. But he's an alim, he's a great person, he's a respectable person. He's got a liking, interest to the hereafter, dislike towards this life here. We don't say that he'll be free of faults. But definitely you'll be rewarded for your respect, for you respecting him for the right reasons, that he knows Allah Ta'ala better than you know, and therefore you're respecting him. After that, in his personal capacity, he's doing something that's not your business. Yes, we will not condone the wrong, we'll condemn the wrong, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't justify our disrespect to these people or the places. Allah Ta'ala grant us all the barakat and the respect of this place here, and nobody, no Muslim must be deprived of the blessings of this month.